I want to thank you for coming to join us. I want to welcome you. We'll start our time together with communion. This may be the last time we experience this event remotely. We are having a board meeting today today meaning Sunday, to plan our reopening. Today we'll remember Jesus' death for our sin. The effect of sin is all around us today. The love of God and his desire for us to be a family is also all around us. We seek this love now. How can you and I glorify Jesus this day? The King James Version of Isaiah 9:6 tells us, "For a child is born, for a son is given, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, and he will save his people from their sin." The end. Jesus saves. That's the truth. We seek the Prince of Peace in this moment, this morning. We're doing home church. Then it would have been Mary's home church. Jesus ate his last meal here in Mary's home church. Peter will run there today after his jailbreak. This is the place where Jesus gave us our first communion. The first communion was in a home church. This is also the place Jesus gave us our first commandment. So we're remembering the first communion and the first commandment. John writes for us in chapter 13, verses 34 and 35, Jesus speaking, "I give you a new command, love one another. You must love one another just as I have loved you. If you love one another, everyone will know you are my disciples." The end. Let's push the pause button on what's been happening all around us. Let's remember Jesus, who he is, what he did, how he lived and died. Focus on Jesus, who he is, what he did, how he lived his life, and how he died. My Lord, our Lord, we take this bread and remember your love and your death for us, all of us. Let's eat it now, in love with Jesus. Thank you, sir. My Lord, our Lord, we take this cup and remember your love and death for us, for all of us. Let's drink it in love with you. Thank you, sir, for your great love. Thank you, sir, for your ability to bring peace. We are in desperate need of you this day. We remember you. We love you. We believe in you. Thank you, sir. Now, as we enter into our study of the book of Acts, seeking again today to discover this life in the Holy Spirit that was new at that time, today is June 7th of 2020. I title the message, Peter is Rescued, number 2. Our text will be Acts chapter 12, and I will read 13 to 19. If you want to grab your Bible, Acts 12, 13 to 19. My outline, Peter is Rescued. Number 1, the exuberance. Number 2, the lack of expectation. Number 3, the execution. Just for fun, I'll give you my conclusions first. Number 1, the hand of God is more powerful than the hand of government. The hand of God is more powerful than the hand of government. That is clear in our scripture text today. That's true then. That's true now. Please pray for the hand of God. Second conclusion. The church's reaction then is a lesson for us today. The church's reaction then is a lesson for us today. We can learn from their mistakes. When the curtain went down on God's grand drama last week, we saw Peter had just walked through three heavy prison doors with ease. When Peter understood what happened, he went to Mary's house. Mary was the mother of John Mark. Many people were gathered in her home, and they were praying there. Mary's large house would have had a walled courtyard and a heavy door protecting it. It would protect them from the looting and the food riots from the worldwide famine of her day. This day in Scripture was not much different when it got dark than the world we live in. People were starving. Our passage I chose today, the NIV version of Acts chapter 12, and I'm going to try to read verses 13 to 19. Peter knocked at the outer courtyard entrance. A young servant named Rhoda came to answer the door. When she recognized Peter's voice, she was so overjoyed, she ran back without opening it and explained, "Peter's at the door." "You're out of your mind," they told her. When she kept insisting that it was so, they said, "It must be an angel." But Peter kept on knocking. When they opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. Peter motioned with his hand for them to be quiet and described how the Lord had brought him out of prison. He said, "Tell James and the brothers and sisters about this." And then he left for another place. In the morning, there was no small commotion among the soldiers as to what had become of Peter. After Herod had a thorough search made for him and did not find him, he cross-examined the guards and ordered that they be executed. Then Herod went from Judea to Caesarea and stayed there. The end. My outline. Peter is rescued. Number one, the exuberance. A servant named Rhoda came to answer the door. I've often wondered why, how this woman got her name into the Bible. I've heard preachers talk about her. One time, I heard a preacher do a set of blonde jokes to open his message. You could never get away with that now. I think that I may have discovered the answer to my years of questions. John Mark and Dr. Luke were friends and wrote their Gospels in Rome about the same time. John Mark is most likely the one telling Dr. Luke this story for us to read in Acts today. I'm thinking, John Mark, a young woman named Rhoda, were most likely friends. So 50 years later, when Luke hears the story, Mark gets his old friend Rhoda into the credits. A on your outline. Rhoda was so excited that she ran without opening the door. Rhoda was so excited she ran without opening the door. Underline the word excited. Actually, all of my outline starts with E. Believers meet in homes rather than church for the first 300 years of the church. Let that sink in. For the first 300 years of the church of our Lord Jesus, it was done like you're doing it today in your home. For 300 years, they met in homes. Peter could get out of prison in spite of the guards and the chains and the steel locked doors, but he couldn't get into Mary's church house. Be on your outline. Rhoda exclaimed, "Peter's at the door." Rhoda exclaimed Peters at the door. Underline the word exclaimed. Communication experts tell us this, that more is expressed by how you say than what words you use. Let that sink in. How you say rather than what words you used. You see, Rhoda, words were perfect. Peter is at the door. But the way she said it made it a whole different communication. Now, take that thought and plug it into what we see going on in our world today. How you say is more important than what you say. The nation we live in is in the middle of a big mess. In the midst of this mess, there are some people who are doing extraordinarily good things. And I sure wish they could get more press. I wish there were more of the extraordinary good things being done. That's what the news media showed us, rather than the bad. We as a church can be a part of the solution. Jesus demonstrated for us how to see the good in people, how to allow the Holy Spirit to love. How to see the good in people, how to let the Holy Spirit love. Jesus demonstrated we can do this. Jesus was a totally equal opportunity discipler. Our God is a totally equal opportunity, just God. We need to look to Him and look at people through the power of His Spirit. That's what we're trying to learn here in Acts. Each of us today has a free will, created by God to choose and to think and to look for the good, look to love, forgive, seek life, seek peace, and shine light onto truth. We have the free will and are created to choose to think and look like this, for good, love, forgiveness, life, peace, truth. See on our outline, they excused her evidence. They excused her evidence. Underline the two E words, excused evidence. You're out of your mind, they said. They thought she was out of her mind. But the truth is, she was the only one thinking right. Let that sink in. Rhoda was the only one thinking correctly. Maybe that's how she got her name in here. Rhoda was the only one who believed God could set Peter free. She was so excited, so happy that Peter was free, that she forgot to let him in. But the truth is, she was the only one who believed God was able to set Peter free. This is how it seems to work out then and now. If one tries to explain spiritual truths, one should expect to be called crazy. If you try to explain something from a spiritual truth perspective, you should expect to be called crazy. If the truth or the facts are more than one's faith or belief can accept, then one often looks for excuses and tries to discredit the source. Have you seen that to be true? All my honest teenage years seeking the truth, trying to understand the person of God and the Holy Ghost, were met with excuses. They said, there's no such thing as ghosts, they told me. They just made an excuse. There's no such thing as ghosts. They would explain to me, just focus on the Father and Jesus. That's all you need. I wonder what my life would have been like if there was someone, just one in the church, who told me the truth. The truth is, the Holy Ghost, how we translate it now, the Holy Spirit, is a personality, all his own. a different personality from the Father and from Jesus, but just as real and important. I read, and I don't remember where to give credit, most likely it was Bill Gillum, but I can't say for sure, that each of us has a body, a soul, and a spirit. We are three main components. You have a physical body, you have a soul, and a spirit. But yet, you are one person. God is one person. His body is Jesus, his soul is the Father, and his spirit is perfectly holy. You have a body, soul, and spirit. God has a body, soul, and spirit, and his spirit is holy. I don't know if that's correct or not, but it sure seems to be true to me today. So, point number one on our outline, exuberance. Point number two, the lack of expectation. The lack of expectation. The church had the faith to pray, but not believe. Let that sink in. The church had the faith to pray, but not believe. A on your outline. A praying church did not expect God to answer. A praying church did not expect God to answer. And underline the E word, expect. Are we so different? We're willing to pray, but reluctant to expect God to respond. They live this way. Are we so different? We're willing to get together and pray, but like them, are we reluctant to expect God to really respond? Peter could get out of prison in spite of the guards, the chains, and the steel doors, but he couldn't get into Mary's house because of their unbelief. Because of their unbelief, he stood in the street. They didn't believe he could be there. They said it must be an angel. It was easier for them to believe there was an angel at the door than God could get Peter out of jail. Think about it. They thought it was easier for God to send an angel than spring Peter from Herod's jail. Be on your outline. The praying church tried to explain away God's answer. The praying church tried to explain away God's answer. And underline the E word, explain. Prayer works when people pray in line with God's will. He responds. Be honest. Sometimes, when God answers prayer, are you in awe or astonished? Be honest. It's like he says, well, you asked me, didn't you? And it seems like you feel a smile on his face. God is pleased to answer the prayer of his children. He knows what we are thinking, but he wants us to talk with him and to hear us talk with him. Without this, there is no intimate relationship. Think about it. God knows what you're thinking. He knows what you're going to ask. He even knows what he's going to do. But he wants to talk with us about that. Why? Relationship. Peter kept on knocking, and when they opened the door and saw him, they were astonished, is the word the King James and the NIV used. Astonished. The Message translate it went wild. The NIV Reader's Version and the New American Standard Bible translate it amazed. So it could be their experience was astonished, they went wild, or amazed. It's one of the few words that are not translated the same in all the translations. See on our outline. The church examined the evidence. The church examined the evidence. Underline the two E words, examined, evidence. The prayers of this group of people were answered even as they prayed. But when the answer arrived at the door, they didn't believe it. We can be people of faith who believe God answers the prayers of those who seek his will. That could be us. When we pray, believe God will answer. When the answer comes, be thankful, not surprised. Expect him to answer and respond with thankfulness. D on our outline. Peter explained what God had done. Probably don't have to guess. Underline the E word, explained. If anyone should have been distracted by emotions, Peter was that guy. But he wasn't. Peter let the Holy Spirit win that night. So can we. I noticed something for the first time Monday morning. Did you see and think about what Peter said? Tell James and the others about this, he said. Then he went to another place. So, did Peter not know what happened to his old hometown friend and business partner, James? Is that what he means? No. This James is James, Jesus' brother. Jesus' little brother, James, was not a believer all of Jesus' life. Think that through. Jesus did not believe his big brother was God his whole life. He said several times that his brother was mad, crazy for saying, I'm the Son of God. James, I know his mom. I know his dad. He's not the Son of God. But James will become the leader of the church in Jerusalem. Here is a born-again transformation that is undeniable. James becomes a believer, becomes the unprecedented leader of the church fearlessly in Jerusalem. Then Peter went to another place. Peter goes underground, and he's not heard from or seen again until Acts 15. He just walks off the stage of the pages of Acts. No one writes where Peter went or what he did to try to keep his head on his shoulders. What would you guess? I'm betting all my chips on he's camping on the Sea of Galilee with his wife. So, our outline, the exuberance, the lack of expectation, and number three, the execution. Exuberance, expectation, execution. A, no one could explain what happened to Peter. Underline, explain. This is a big deal. A high-profile prisoner has escaped. At daybreak, the jail was in an uproar. Where's Peter? What happened to Peter? When Herod sent for Peter, and they could neither produce him or explain why not, Herod ordered their execution. Off with their heads. That's a Message translation of Acts 12, 18, and 19. Think about it. 16 men are beheaded. An angel walks Peter out of jail, and these 16 men die because what God did. How do you wrap your head around that? 16 men die because an angel walks Peter out of jail. How do you wrap your head around that? For a Roman soldier to fail at his duty meant death. King Herod saw an opportunity to get political favors from the Jews just slip right through his fingers. B on your outline. Herod was exasperated. Underline exasperated. Fed up with Judea and the Jews, Herod took a vacation to Caesarea. That's what the Message says. Rather than face the embarrassment of the plan that failed, he decided to get out of town. You see, Jerusalem was the center of the government for the Jews. Caesarea was the center of the Roman government. See on your outline. Herod escaped from Judea to Caesarea. Underline escaped. He stayed there a while. Jerusalem was a big mess, widespread famine, people starving to death in the streets, food riots, rich people's homes and stores were looted by mobs at night to get food to eat, much like we see on television today. Herod could just walk away and leave the mess to the Romans. How sweet. In 1972, I could not escape. I often say, who's got a testimony for our service today? I do. In July of 1972, it was very hot in Miami, Florida, at the Democratic National Convention. I know a white man who was 21 years old. He was standing between two black young men. We were all dressed in full riot gear. 1,000 of us were living in a big hangar on an Air Force base. If needed, the 82nd Airborne could be marching in the streets of Miami in a matter of minutes. Mr. Nixon had us ready for any problem that might develop. 12-hour shifts of standing still and doing drills on a hot street, that's a long time. Without the strict discipline of the 82nd Airborne and our will to win no matter what the mission was, it could get ugly really fast. Most of my friends were black at that time and had a lot of questions about what was it like living near Chicago at the last Democratic National Convention in 1968. I told them, I would have been on the other side of the line then. I believe there are a lot of policemen, a lot of National Guard, and a lot of other heroes who were standing like I was in a line ready to stand for law and order. Who would willingly and wholeheartedly rather stand on the other side of the line for equality and justice? But the truth is, without law and order, there can never be equality and justice. Let's pray. My Lord, thank you for John's revelation. Thank you for telling us up front things are gonna get bad here at home and across the globe. My God, I thank you for your love. Thank you that you love us enough to call us here today. Your love is big enough and more wonderful than any of the evil around us. We need your love. Lord Jesus, thank you for your love, your life, and your death for our salvation. I pray in this time of our nation, it is you that will exert yourself with love and life and salvation. Holy Spirit, we need your expression of love and forgiveness. And that's for all of us, our nation today. Our God, please restore peace. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
You are not hidden. There's never been a moment you were forgotten. You are not hopeless. You have been broken, your innocence stolen. I hear you whisper underneath your breath. I hear your SOS, your SOS. I will send out an army. Find you in the middle of the darkest night. It's true, I will rescue you. There is no distance that cannot be covered over and over. You're not defenseless. I'll be your shelter. I'll be your armor. I hear you whisper underneath your breath. I hear your SOS, your SOS. I will send out. I hear.